be made contact for private contact, because the way St. Ignatius conceived the spiritual exercises, the individual, of course, makes the retreat. The word retreat is not really used officially. It's a popular term that has come up, but makes the exercises. In other words, it is not somebody else that makes the retreat for you. You make it. However, there has to be, this is St. Ignatius, there has to be someone who is the director of the exercises. Now, the degree of his involvement depends on certain factors. But I think this is good to know. In other words, there's a set plan, sequence, which the exercises provide. But the praying is done by the individual himself. And my favorite definition of meditation is thinking of the presence of God. So that's what you're doing. You're thinking. You're aware in whose presence you're thinking. And then you allow him, of course, to give you ideas, so that it becomes, in effect, a conversation. I did suggest to Lewis, he got copies. Those are two useful books if you don't have copies. The Theology of Prayer and the Spirituality of the Modern World. They are useful because they are ideas. They are really just spiritual exercises. For example, the meaning of true love. Oh, how many crimes are committed in the name of love nowadays. So I'd like to keep in touch with you fellows. I said a thing about every fourth day. You may have to do a little scrounging or whatever. I'll do as much planning as I can. And wouldn't mind, Janice, somehow to keep the ball moving. Now, I'm willing to, that's not even the right word. Any adjustment that has to be made that I can make in whatever plans I've got, I'm willing to make. I mean, this month, you people come first, okay? So you're not imposing on me. You got it straight? However, I do have to, how should I put it? Somebody's got to push, because, there are other things in motion, and, just move in that direction. So, use the two telephones. You've got both numbers, and Dan. Now the ideal, I think, is if each time that we meet, either physically if we can, or by telephone, that we set another time. For example, just to illustrate for today. Mike, 6:30 a.m. Stupid me. I thought I told, but I didn't tell the girl to have the fellows coming at 6:30 upon the door. Well, nobody pounded on the door, so. So, 6:30, 7 o'clock, then 8 o'clock, one of the students is supposed to come over. Then I've got two phone calls. So I schedule. Now I have to. I spend most of the day in Ann Arbor with Mr. Monahan. And tomorrow morning, his wife calls at 9:30. Will you please keep her in her prayers? Marge Monahan. Married 28 years. He's not a Catholic yet. He's on page 90 of the Catholic Catty, of the pocket Catholic Catechism, so he's coming along. In other words, I like to set. See, this way I live. And you too, you have certain tastes, except in my case, I have to set certain times for certain things, and when somebody calls, I get a kind of a buzz on my telephone. then I just say, well, I got another call coming in, and give the people a blessing, and that's the end of that. And sometimes, especially with women, when I'm calling, oh, Father, don't give me the blessing yet. I mean. So, is that a deal? In other words, that, now it could be more often. I'd rather not have it less, though, than each of you every fourth day and be in contact. Okay?
Can I make an appointment? Because I'm on my seventh day.
Please?
I'm on my seventh day and I haven't talked to you about the retreat yet. Should I make an appointment?
Okay. Now what day? Which day? Lee?
Any day that you're free.
Yeah, let's.
Because I can work around your schedule pretty much.
Thank you.
What, as long as it's after 6 o'clock.
Tomorrow night. Say a prayer also for a priest, a Jesuit. His name is John Mitchell. He's living outside the community, but he's a good priest. But just ran into a brainstorm for some time. So I'm having dinner with him tomorrow night. I just never eat out, but this is special. So would Friday be all right?
Sure.
Friday.
What time?
You tell me. In other words, see what I do. Yes or no? It's unbelievable. There's a blank for Friday.
Well, me too.
How about 9 o'clock?
Okay. Okay. 9:30.
John.
Please.
John McAlpin.
John, 9:30. MCA, how's that?
That's
well?
It's 8 o'clock in the morning, too early.
8 morning, in the morning?
8 in the morning, Friday.
That's right. 8 in the morning, which day?
Friday.
8 a.m. Now, this week I know I'm not having masses at the parish church. So then we can, each day we can all then set for the next day. Meantime, you know, next week would be a little different.
I'd like to get
Tom
on Friday too.
Friday? What time?
I want to come later now. Let him come at 9:30.
So, what time would you suggest?
We'll come at 9:30.
9?
9:30.
So, let's see. You're then who? What I mean, not to, I knew your name, pardon me.
But he's going to take John's slot.
Oh, I see. So, and you, and then, oh, what's well, then? How about?
I'll come later.
10 o'clock? Is 10 o'clock all right? Oh, that doesn't matter. Well, how about 8:30?
No, I'll be in Ann Arbor. That's
the please?
I'm going to be in Ann Arbor, so I have to come back.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, and you were free at 9:30, though, weren't you? But Tom will take it, eh?
He's going to take it.
Okay.
Does anyone else want to come on Friday?
I'm calling.
It doesn't matter. Now, it doesn't have to be Friday. It could be on Saturday. Now, Saturday I have an evening mass in one of the parishes.
It's up to you to come.
But,
no, that would I thought we were all coming here.
On what day?
On Friday. But
are we all coming on Friday?
Call?
No, I'm calling.
Please?
Should I call you by the telephone?
No. No, this is. No, it's. I'll tell you what. See, this. It's. No, you're welcome to come. No, this is. This is. Either way. Telephone. Telephone. I was thinking of telephone. You're welcome to come, except. For half an hour. Mm. Oh, yeah. Driving all the way out for half an hour's conversation. Because the telephone, I got a private telephone. If you got, you know, one of those party lines, it's safe. So I'm talking about telephone. Okay. Is that your understanding?
Yes.
See? So
okay, well John? I'll call you up at
10. 10 o'clock. Okay, sure. And then as we're talking about Friday, right?
Yes.
Do you have privacy to call?
She also means when I do, she also put out my telephone, because she I've got to. I can't always have my telephone open. And so this is, otherwise other things just couldn't be done. So, okay. Now, so somebody else sometimes, you know, somebody else can be on the telephone, but then just, you know that you call, but I get a signal. But they tell me that our machine does not work. There is no real mechanism for holding a call in our machine.
So we should just call back.
Well, the person, if you call several times, you see, three or four, even five times, then the line remains, whatever it is, some kind of machinery. Now, if somebody knows anything about telephones, too, but so far none of our men has worked it out. Sometimes they try the, you know, that little, they call that? You know, that
short click?
But they lose a call. I tried it.
It doesn't work. Call hold.
Yeah. Anyway, somehow, see, I don't have a hold. You don't have a system on our telephone. And we also don't have, for example, call collect. The telephone company is told no collect calls. So,
have you talked with the phone company, Father? Have they made arrangements?
No, except if, see, I'm a member of the Jesuit order. And, you know, I could call up the telephone company and they tell my rector, you know, the customer at 927-1605 called us up and he said he wants something there, but I get a telephone call or a message from the rector. Hey, who's running this place, you or me? Yeah, this is part of my life. Oh, well, things I couldn't do for it. Although I get a lot of freedom. So, okay, are we in business then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Lewis, we might maybe tonight, after I get a couple of my phone calls through, and then Daniel? Now we've been,
yes.
Except today I had a,
yes.
Had a pull out. See, I have Mass. I've been having Mass at 7 o'clock. Just to hear. 7 o'clock, and it's a private Mass. Anytime you're free, I check with Daniel to make sure you know that. But tomorrow, Thursday, you're available. Will you be?
Thursday, I can't come. I'm meeting Margaret Ellen.
Okay, no problem. But because then I see a private Mass. Unless I knew that somebody was coming at 7, it's the one time of the. At the altar on the first floor, which is open to visitors. So, just let me know beforehand.
Could you Friday?
Yeah, the first is going to at 8 o'clock. It could be.
Yeah.
But at 8 a.m., right?
Yes.
So, we just okay. Make sure to be finished. I'm back at my telephone by 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay. Well, these are mechanical things that are important, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, now, what I think I should do tonight is spell out the meaning of what is called the first week of the spiritual exercises. May I look at somebody's chart, the lineup you've got there? Well, the way this thing is organized, the first week does not have to be, you know, 7 days. And for you people, for the spiritual exercise you're taking, the first week ends with the fourth day. In other words, the Ignatian logic You want something, sir?
Yes, I'm good to go. The sheet back. It'll make copies for everybody.
Okay, just one minute.
The Ignatian logic is that the exercises are divided into 4 weeks, but not seven, necessarily seven chronological days.
Mm-hmm.
For you people, the first week lasts 4 days. The second week, as Ignatius calls it, begins for you on the fifth day and goes to the 15th day. So fifth through the 15th. And the 16th day is a retreat decisions. It's a kind of a, you might say, interlude between the second and third week. And the third week for you people begins on the 17th day with Holy Week, and goes on, third week, goes up to and through the 21st day, which is the crucifixion. And the fourth week, from the 22nd to the 30th. And what if I then identify the logic of those 4 weeks so that if there's anything about St. Ignatius, it is logic. There's a purpose, and there are means to achieve that purpose. So the purpose, the overall purpose, of course, of the retreats, as we're calling it, or the spiritual exercises, is to have conformed my will to the divine will and committed myself in the verb, the only one that really counts, otherwise you're not really making the exercises. There's a commitment. And by the 16th day, there are decisions. But notice, decisions do not mean that my mind knows what I'm supposed to do, but my will still needs motivation to do it. There are three classes of people, I think, in the world. People who never really make decisions of their lives. Another class, they make decisions but never really choose what the mind tells them. We decide with the mind. And the third class are those who both decide with their minds and choose with their wills. And one of my favorite definitions of love is sustained choice. Now back then to the logic of the 4 weeks. The first week, which for you then is the first 4 days, could be all there is to the retreat. And if you read some of the introductory directives of St. Ignatius, he even tells the director to find out whether the person should go beyond the first week. Because in general there are two classes of people, and this is Ignatius, divides everything in sight. There's logic. In other words, A is not B, B is not C. That in general, God's good is manifest to human beings in two ways. Imperatively, where he tells people to do something or else. And the or else, of course, is the suffering, the punishment for not having done what conscience tells me is God's good in my life. So God manifests his will imperatively. But secondly, God also manifests his will invitingly. Now the first week, as such, is on the level of God's imperative will. What must I do to save my soul? Reach heaven and avoid hell. And notice even the very last meditation we have for the fourth day is on hell.
So this can apply really for any, this can apply really for anyone.
Yes. And by the way, this could be, would have to be a Catholic, would have to be a Christian, have to believe in God, of course. I talk to people, they have very little faith, certainly not believing Catholics. And when they have problems with whatever their life is all about, I ask them, why do you have a free will? And there are some philosophers, you know, that don't even think we've got a free will. They're badly off. As long as a person recognizes a free will, what do you got a free will for? Must be to choose. Well, you keep choosing, making all kinds of choices. And I think this is a safe estimate in a given day. Most of them are almost unconscious choices. I'll bet we make up to 1,000 choices a day. To leave this book open and to close it. This is watch out. Your table. You can either take spinach or carrots or pass that by. You're making a decision. So why do we have a free will? It cannot be to just make these frequent daily choices. There must be a purpose. Why all those individual choices are being made. There must be one principal choice, PAL, with a capital C, toward which all these other choices of the will are made. In other words, we have a mouth, it has a purpose. You have hands, you've got a purpose. Feet. Watch. Watch stops keeping time. It's may get it fixed. It's caused more to get it fixed, as I found out, than buy a new watch. You get a new watch. Served its purpose. Now, our purpose cannot be for this world. See, this is the logic that you can use with people who have, they've got to believe in, somehow in God. All they've got to do is be rational. To live a good moral life is rational. So that was the first week. Now, the second week has a key meditation which in a way divides the first from the second week and is called Fifth Day, the Call of Christ. But the very word, whether noun or verb, call. As you probably know, the Latin verb for to call is vocare, to call. Vocation. Every human being has a vocation. And with emphasis, every Catholic has a vocation. It's a call. And it's a call not only, it cannot be a call to just save one soul. Because with the second week, that's why the key meditation, which for you is the fifth day, is to see that God wants me not only to obey Him imperatively, but following Him invitingly. So just as the very first day sets the stage for the first week, So the fifth day for you people sets the stage for the second week. In other words, the call of Christ. You notice, and that comes before the sixth day, which is the incarnation. Now the assumption is that the one making the exercises believes in the incarnation. However, the purpose of the fifth day is to set the tone for the second week, that there are a God better Christ extends a call in one sense to everyone, but to say the least, not everyone would even know there was such a thing as the spiritual exercises. Even those who know that the spiritual exercises exist would never think of making them. And even those who might think of making them would not think of making. You must be kidding. 30 days. And you see the implications that I have assumed that you people do sense, however vaguely, as you get into the retreat, God willing, very clearly before you finish, that God has has work for you. Now, this call of Christ is to extend his kingdom. In the Gospels, Christ only on two occasions used the word church. That's in the Greek, ecclesia. He regularly uses basileia, which means kingdom. So, and even the word king, you see, we don't even need in English. In fact, this is the most learned objections to the Universal Catechism, with which, as you know, through God's providence, I'm working with the Holy See on the Universal Catechism. But the most learned and devastating attack on the Universal Catechism was published jointly by a fellow by the name of Metz and Skillebeck. You may have heard the two names. They both, by the way, occur in Christianity of the 20th century. I'll look up their credentials. But it's about 150-page paperback. I think it's in five languages, including English. I spoke on the Universal Catechism at Tidore University last night. It's recorded, by the way. You're welcome if you can get a copy. I'm not sure. I think it was recorded. At least I know I had a PA. And I bought a copy of this very learned attack on the Universal Catechism with me just to display. And here's the title of this attack on the proposed. It will come out. Universal Catechism. And the title is a question mark. Universal Catechism or Enculturation? And his whole book, with about 10 very learned authors from different parts of the world. Yeah, we don't need a catechism. All we need is to adjust Catholic teaching to the cultures of the different cult countries. In the United States, what should the Catholic Church become? Democratic, right? You follow the logic? Very intelligent. So, back to this fifth day, which is the key to the second week. And really the key to the spiritual exercises as going beyond or above merely saving one soul. Christ calls Absolutely speaking, you might say everybody. But concretely and practically, we know not everybody even thinks that there is a vocation in his life. And even good Catholics. And the word vocation has, in popular language, almost been limited. Say the priest or limited his life. And that's not good Catholic theology. Who would remember, this would really make my day, who would remember the title of the fifth chapter of the Second Vatican Council document of the Church? Not the Church in the modern world. It's called Lumen Gentium, of the Church. Universal call to holiness. Know the word call? Universal vocation. Get it? First time in 21 General Councils of the Church. That's why you fellows here are here. The same Holy Spirit, this is what we believe. He's behind the council. He's behind you fellows being here, and me, because obedience told me to come to Detroit. I'm in Detroit. And that's what the Holy See has been telling me for 21 years. Work with the lay people. A year ago, I can't imagine, Tom Monahan, in his wildest nightmare, thought he was going to make a 30-day retreat. Well, he did. He's a genius for organization. A genius. It's organization to be done. And he knows. Anybody can make $1.5 billion selling pizzas. He better know about the call of Christ the King. Here's the way I talk to him. So, but notice, this call of Christ the King, and let's be sure we got it clearly, it is not merely, as an important effort, it is not merely for one's own personal holiness. There are two words you should never separate, and they are vocation and mission. And the vocation is being called, and the mission is being sent. And by the way, a perfect synonym, absolutely perfect synonym, theologically, for mission is apostolate. Who are the apostles? Those whom Christ, having called them, sent. That's the spiritual exercises. In other words, the very idea of growing in holiness, overcoming my weaknesses, and be more gotham. With St. Paul, we can thank God for our weaknesses, because it makes us realize how helpless we are, and then we come calling to the Lord. I tried it, I can't make it. Help me. And he says, well, it's about time, you're about time. You woke up. Hey, notice, this call of Christ is in order to be sent by Christ. Sent by him to do what? To extend his kingdom. Extend his kingdom, and that has two meanings. Both numerically or quantitatively, to increase the number of believers, one of the most satisfying instructions of Congress that I've had for Jewish people. I may have told this story on some occasion, but I think it's relevant here. I was living in Manhattan. I got a call from a woman. She said, I just talked to your pastor, St. Ignatius Church on Park Avenue. He said, you better talk to Father Harden. So she called me up. Can I come over? She came over. Jewish woman, her name was Jeanette. And she said, I've been going to a psychiatrist for the last, I think, like 15 months. And paying good money. I'm Jewish, the psychiatrist is Jewish. Have I told you the story? Well, my last meeting with him, he said, Jeanette, you'd be very surprised at the counsel I have to give you. No more years of clinical practice. I've never told any of my clients, I have to tell you, there's only one cure for your problem. You've got to become a Catholic. That's one in a million. A Jewish psychiatrist, you're telling a Jewish woman she's got to become a Catholic. Well, from the conversations, therapy they call it, paying in a good mazuma for it, he found out she was born in Warsaw. Parents were well-to-do. Had a Catholic nursemaid for the children. The woman shouldn't have done it, but she did. She taught those Jewish children sign of the cross. Tell them about Jesus, Mary and Joseph. And Hitler took over Poland. Both her parents were killed by the Nazis. Relative somehow got her out of Poland to New York. I asked, how old were you when you left Poland? 5 years old. Did that say something? Psychiatrist said, you have never been at peace since that nursemaid talked to you about the Catholic Church. She was already dating. I managed to become her third husband. And that's a story all by itself, I can assure you. There have been no more marriages since she's become a Catholic. And the man she's going to marry, he became a Catholic too. But notice what we're saying. The purpose, therefore, of the holiness, and most people think in terms of, well, my becoming more responsive to God's will, it is that I might become more effective in the apostolate. The purpose of holiness is never to stop with a person. The purpose is that a person might become as closely united with God as possible, because then God will use you. Mysterious ways, unpredictable ways. The key is close union with our Lord. You follow me? That's the logic. Now then, in the fifth day, setting the basic purpose of the spiritual exercises, then through the 15th day you meditate on the public life of Christ. And what was that public life? Except Christ, that's called an apostolate. Was Christ sent into the world? Sure, he was sent by the Father. But notice, even the price that Christ paid for 3 years, if his enemies had had their way, Christ would never even have reached, well, the age of 2 or 3, right? He had already had his sent out, remember? And then the first sermon that Christ preached, remember, in Nazareth? To the top of a hill, and he might say Christ in his own mind said, thanks for for the opportunity, but not yet. I've got some preaching to do. We're not told that he ever came back to Nazareth. He's also saying something. He'll preach to those who are willing to hear. God does not waste his grace. So then, the second week, it's called sometimes the kingdom meditation, or they call us Christ the King. The purpose is to, in the second week, to learn two things from our Lord. One about his virtues, his humility, his patience, his chastity, and especially his charity. So that we might, by imitating his virtues, become holy. He practiced his virtues as man, but the one who practiced those virtues was God. As I tell people, the virtues that Jesus practiced as man were the divine attributes made visible and sensibly perceptible. So that's the first purpose of the second week, to learn from Christ's virtues so that we might, by imitating him as man, become more and more like him who is God. But the second purpose is to be motivated to proclaim Christ to others, to spread the kingdom, to teach. And this is one reason I'm not saying during the retreat, but I'd recommend, and some have better memories than others, it is just a good idea to memorize certain parts, you're going to say pieces, of the New Testament. You've got to find a good translation that is, you know, that reads well, but also is accurate. Because, and this is where so many of the Protestants, as you know, are way ahead of us. I taught for 7 years at the Dusen School of Theology. I never had a worry about whether these people knew their scripture. They knew it, not by heart, they really knew it well. At any rate, that we might know Christ so we can talk about him to others. You know what parables he said, and I've taught a course in biblical spirituality, analyzing, might even some of you yeah, would you remind me to bring up a set of my, it's an outline of my course in biblical spirituality, just to see how the thing goes, because now, as you know, Calvary is becoming more Bible conscious than ever before, and especially working with Protestants, you better know our Bible, otherwise they won't even listen to us. Anyway, the second purpose then of the second week is to, you might say, study Christ's methodology, his approach, his way of dealing with people. And that's to both enlighten us on how to proclaim his name to others and why we should do it. Be inspired. Because Christ, had he wanted to, of course, the whole story of Christianity would have been different. Could Christ, having become man, having risen from the dead, could he have stayed on earth until the end of time?
Yes.
You analyze why he didn't, and you realize this is where we come in. In other words, he wants those who believe in him to share their faith with others. As I tell people, even saving our souls, nobody gets to heaven alone. Either you help other people get there, you won't make it yourself. So that's the second week. It is the imitation of Christ and the practice of the virtues that he practiced, and the following of Christ in being ready to be sent by him. Now the being sent, and this is one reason, by the way, why performing after your clearance from Rome for the title Ignatian Catechists. I've checked it out with some of the Marian Catechists. They have no objections. And by the way, as you know, I'm being recorded with women. There's a certain take special grace in how to deal with, shall we call it, the opposite sex. They're not so much opposite, they're just plain different. It's not necessary that you be told to do this or that. No, in the Marian Catechist I have also done that. The Bishop Fargo, South Dakota, wanted to. I recommended one of the Marian Catechists, who was DRE for her parish in Silver Spring, Maryland. She calls herself Gigi, but her real name is Gloria. And real bright and very Orthodox. The bishop invited her to come up for some interviews. Spent a couple of days there during the summer. And when she got back, she said, "Father, thanks for the invitation. Of course, all expenses paid. But I just cannot see myself leaving." She had all kinds of friends, relatives, everybody in Washington. Coming to Fargo, they tell me that. It's real cold. It'll take a month. She's in Fargo. Director for the diocese. Isn't that great? But only a woman can do it. She said, she called me up the other day. She says, "Father, what do you tell priests that wouldn't want to follow the bishop's director?" She's a bishop. Smart man. He got a woman to. Well, this is good. Good Ignatian psychology. So what I'm saying is not that necessarily any one of you would be in a position that I would tell you. And really, I don't have, even for the Marian Catechists, I don't have that kind of authority. I think I did tell you that some of the Marian Catechists do take private vows. But there's no obligation. And even involve chastity according to one's state of life. However, a being sent by Christ, this is why I'm in contact, well, that's not the reason, because I was in contact with Rome. There are so many things that Rome wants to have done that it'd be no problem, believe me, finding out, what am I supposed to do? You won't have to twiddle your thumbs, you see. There's much more to be done. You've got to be properly motivated. Now, the third of you, I'd like to finish these 4 weeks, at least the overall outline, by 8 o'clock, if you don't mind. The third week begins for you on the 17th day. The 16th, remember, is the decision. Now, the third week, which for you begins with Holy Week, is really the Passion, and goes on until the 21st day inclusive. What's the purpose of the third week? The purpose of the third week is to strengthen one's will in remaining faithful to what I believe Christ wants me to do in the extension of his kingdom. In other words, I'm willing to pay the price. That's what he did, and if I love him, that's what I will be willing to do. Okay? That's the third week. In other words, there is no real apostolic work without suffering. In other words, we either unite ourselves with Christ in his passion, or he may talk about apostolic work, but he won't really be doing it. Because to try to proclaim Jesus Christ, his teaching, his doctrine, he will not be loved by the world. The world will do to us or try to do to us what he did to the Master. Okay? And by the way, Palm Sunday is perfect because remember the hosannas that people sang 5 days later? The same people crucifying, stood up by their leaders, and by Good Friday he was crucified. So that the third week of the spiritual exercises is to steel us, S-T-E-E, to strengthen us, to prepare us, to expect the cross in the following of Christ. And this is true, as we know, not only in Christ in his physical existence on earth, but now, since his resurrection, the mystical Christ. I like the statement of our present Holy Father, the noble condition of the Catholic Church is one of persecution. I like that. The noble condition of the Catholic Church is one of persecution. I trust you agree. There's not a poetic phrase. That's real. Absolutely real. And as Christ foretold, our worst enemies will be who? Members of our own household. Those nearest and dearest to us. And to continue loving those who couldn't care less whether I'm even alive. And this, as we know, is true in every state of life. In every walk of life. In any case, we've got to prepare ourselves, and we don't have to look for it. We don't have to tap somebody on the shoulder. Would you mind causing me give me a little persecution? We don't have to ask for it. We don't have to look for it. And as the lives of the saints tell us, those whom Christ called to the closest following of himself did what? Had to pay heaviest in carrying of the cross. Okay. Then the fourth week begins on the 22nd day with his resurrection. Now there are 4 days from the resurrection of the 22nd to the ascension of the 25th, when we meditate on the risen Christ, risen, I mind you, risen on earth. In the last 5 days of the spiritual exercises, this is still the risen Christ, but now the risen Christ was sent into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. Now the source, just know where we get the contents. Up to the 24th day, the scriptural basis is for all practical purposes the four Gospels. But then, from the 26th day to the end already the 25th, it is the Acts of the Apostles. In other words, the spiritual exercises based on the scriptures. But I can tell you, each one of these meditations is like a whole piece of steel or a very carefully chiseled tool. Every one of these meditations has a logical connection with the preceding and the following. And within each day, each of the meditations is connected to the other two. That is why, if you should happen to, say, miss a day or do something, then I recommend even extending the retreat an extra day so as not to tamper with the logic. Because this is supposed to hold together. The faith is not only something we believe in, but something that holds together. Logically.
Tom. Well, I couldn't find the first three meditations in my book.
First three meditations?
Yeah, the first day.
First three, you mean?
Oh, the first day.
The first day. It wasn't in there.
First one, two, and three.
Oh.
It wasn't in this book.
You mean as our creator? As our, you mean the first day?
Mm-hmm. On page 12.
Is it on page 12?
There's not very much.
You see, it's what I did then, Tom, what I did, I expanded it in All My Liberty. In other words, I pulled the principle and foundation, pulled it apart. That goes on for a dozen or so pages.
I see. You have to read it carefully. There's a lot there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I can tell you all this.
Before the first week, though, that's why I didn't realize it.
Gail, I think too. So I'd like to know if you people, when you call, would you let me know where you are? You see? Otherwise, we can spend, you know, 5 or more minutes finding out where you people are, where you're supposed to be. Because there is the logical interrelationship among the meditations. And maybe no two of you will be quite exactly, you know, where one man is, another man may not quite be. So let me know where you are. Okay? And we'll pick up from there. And I've got my my notations here for the time that we're going to be in contact by telephone. If you plan to come, let me know. Understand? But the same thing, I'll have to, given the nature of things, you're welcome to come. We'll be around for half an hour. And also, and Lewis, and unfortunately here a man was waiting outside, but typically, and Daniel, this is where I'll need your help to make sure that we have things organized, because while you people are making the exercises, there are other things that you have to do, and as I have too. So we got things systematized. It's 8 o'clock. How's that? Who's this? Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us sinners, we conceive.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If you people have copies of the Treasury of Catholic Wisdom, it wouldn't be a bad idea. This is not a sales pitch. But there are, you know, I began with 3,000 authors. After several years, boiled them down to 104. And those 104 were boiled down to 33, and 33 are with the Treasury Book. Now, there was a quotation, and not just snippets. And there was an index. There's about something like 2,000 entries. So there's just a lot locked up in there. You find to find about whatever it is, obedience, poverty, humility, whatever. What St. Teresa says, or what reminded me of us, tomorrow is who's pleased. Saint
Francis of Assisi.
Thanks. Saint Francis of Assisi. Her mother was a Franciscan tertiary. And what Francis says, for example, is a letter to all the faithful. Every Catholic should read. New people ought to read. And obedience to the Pope. meet St. Francis. You're not a Catholic. You're not a Christian. That's a Christian. So, thanks.
Well, we're getting, did you want to schedule another, a next meeting for us?
No. Next, what is today? Today is the
3rd.
Yes, the 10th. I'm to see an eye doctor. I think I need glasses. But anyway, so Wednesday the 10th is okay. Is it okay with you people? How about Bill Mister? Can we get on Wednesdays?
I think Wednesdays are bad for him. Yes, typically he has appointments, medical appointments.
Let's see, Saturdays are not always. Weekends are usually
busy.
Weekends. Mm-hmm. Next Saturday I'll be in Jackson. Saturday after 13th of October.
He did tell me that, you know, since he appears to have the only conflict with that day, I will give him copies of these tapes.
Would you please? Because see, we cannot obviously. There are certain days now. He would be free on Saturdays. On the other hand, no, Saturdays. Let's keep it for next Wednesday at least.
Okay.
And if necessary, let's get Bill in on this thing, because I know Bill from years back. So the 10th of October, then borrow your pen again, 7 p.m. Ignatian Catechists. And then now there was somebody who wanted to come in earlier, because we have, they serve at 5:30 the meal, and then at 6 o'clock I can clean myself up, and then also after that, because today, you know, you got things scheduled right after, but just let me know beforehand, okay? And then would you kind of chaperone this thing to make sure that I know, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing and when, okay? So, okay, there's somebody that, you don't have to. I should, get up to these calls, and also, there's two just waiting for me. Okay.